Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network. Preparedness Radio. With your host, John Jeffers.
And good evening, John Jeffers, your host tonight on the Contra Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. It's a Sunday night, February 19th, 2017, 8 o'clock Central Time. If you want to call in, our number is 516-453-9389. Again, get your pencil and papers out, and I'll give you the number again. The number is 516-453-9389. You can call in on your cell phone if you want. You can Skype in if you wish. Hit the blue button. Or you can hit the chat room. Gary's in the chat room. Good evening to Gary. Glad he's here. And Camo Mike is in. Camo Mike's on time tonight. What happened? Okay. He's probably in just because this is the one night. I don't even have a subject. It's been really slow in the Prepper Patriot world for news this last week or so. And I got to tell you, I'm somewhat disappointed. But I do have five tips for you. Five tips of things not to do when you're bugging in. And some of these are common sense, but don't forget, you know, a lot of times we do have new preppers. And they don't know. And we don't want to lose any preppers. So, number one, don't burn treated wood because the chemicals in it could make you sick. You know, a lot of it has petroleum stuff a lot of that time, especially if you get that pressed wood. It's got glue that held all that crap together. So, you know, important things. Number two, don't cook inside unless you have an exhaust system or you will get what? Carbon monoxide poisoning. Everybody walks around with bright cherry red lips. Why? Because they've been poisoned. All right. Number three, don't board up the windows from the outside. Rather, board them up from the inside. Okay. Number four, don't cook with galvanized metal containers because of the dangerous chemicals in them, which, of course, as you set them on fire, they will leach out into the atmosphere. You breathe them, and what? You get chemical poisoning. Yes. And wouldn't that be fun to have when the grid's down and there is no hospital to go to, no medical facilities to treat you? Yeah, you got to think about these things. And number five, don't burn green lumber or pine in your fireplace or your stove. Why? Because it will cause creosote to build up, which what? Can catch fire, and then your whole house burns down. So now you got to bug out because you can't bug in anymore because you burnt down your bug-in place. So you got to bug out. Maybe. Depending on how bad. If you have a fire extinguisher handy, that might help. Probably wouldn't hurt to have that anyways, right? Okay. In the meantime, here's a little something. You know, if it wasn't for, I tell you, because I'm sitting here putting together a show about an hour and a half ago. I can't find anything. No subjects I thought would be interesting to pass along to you. No information we haven't talked about before. And then UrbanSurvivalSite.com comes along, and they just happen to have two things. That's like, you know what? This is pretty good. Let me use this. So this next one is from, it's called 9 Ammo Storage Tips Every Gun Owner Should Know. 9 of them, okay? So if like most preppers, you're already stockpiling pro. You know how to do it. You know what you should be doing. You got food, supplies, a bug-out bag, perfect weapons, and a great plan. Chances are high you've also begun stockpiling ammunition like a reality TV hoarder. Having a million rounds of ammo is great, but without proper storage, these potentially lethal projectiles will be nothing more than a heap of brass or worse, an accident waiting to happen. Over time, heat, moisture, corrosion can wreak havoc on an ammunition supply. Cartridges can weaken and break, primers can lose their zing, and bullets can even corrode and lose mass, making them a safety hazard to fire. So avoid all these potential risks by using these 9 tips, which I am going to give to you for storing your ammunition. Number one, buy the proper ammunition. Look, guys, I just posted a story about 3 weeks ago of a bonehead who bought an AK-47, and he couldn't figure out why he couldn't get his 5.56 ammunition to fit the AK-47. Sends an email to the guy, the seller, who says, no, you got to get the 7.62 by 39, right? What does he do? He goes on by 7.62 by 51, I believe. 51 or 52? I think it's 50. Anyways, it still wouldn't fit. The guy is throwing a fit. He can't figure out why it won't work. And he's just, you know, this guy, it's guys like him who buy stuff and then don't get educated on the proper use of it or what it should be used for or how to use it. And it just drives me crazy. It drives me bananas. Because it's easy. When you buy the weapon, ask the person selling it to you, what kind of ammunition does it take? Anyways, so buy the proper ammunition. Sometimes the best offense is a good defense. Certainly the case with proper ammunition storage. Starting out with the right ammo is essential to keeping your long-term arsenal. There are quality versions and terrible versions of every type of ammunition possible. So avoid buying extremely cheap ammo. You never know the history of the ammo you buy, and there's a small chance that extremely cheap ammo is a production reject. I'm going to say that again because it's really that important. You never know the history of the ammo you buy, and there's a small chance that extremely cheap ammo is a production reject, which makes it extremely hazardous for you to use. So in addition, you know, you don't buy ammunition that is already old. Any ammo over 10 years old should be avoided since you can't guarantee that it was stored properly the whole time. And make sure any ammunition you purchase is completely intact without any broken seals or ripped boxes. And as always, don't store any ammo that hasn't been personally inspected by you. That means you got to open up the boxes. You got to look at it. Number two, you want to label and rotate your ammunition. Storing and using ammo should be like storing and using any stockpiled perishable items. Label your cases of ammunition with the date you bought them and use the oldest dated rounds first. This will ensure that you never leave an old box of ammo in the back for a long time. Number three, cool temperatures. Now, the best way to store ammunition is in a plastic bags inside ammunition boxes that have a rubber seal to keep moisture out and place in a cool, dark area. Rounds that have been exposed to heat may be defective, and this is what you're looking to avoid the most. While you probably don't have to worry about wrecking your ammunition on one hot afternoon, that won't start to happen until at least 150 degrees. But over time, the heat degrades the performance of your rounds. Be sure to find a cool, dark place that isn't also damp, as it defeats the purpose. Humidors are for cigars. Dry boxes are for ammo. The clay desiccant. The number one killer of ammunition is humidity. Storing your rounds in a damp environment is a surefire way to cause corrosion and powder damage. Fortunately, there are many options for avoiding this fate involving the use of desiccants. A desiccant is anything that absorbs water. Some materials do this chemically, while others do this physically, like the clay desiccant. Sodium bentonite and calcium bentonite are great clay desiccants that absorb moisture wonderfully. You can purchase these in the form of DesiPaks, DESI-PAKS, look it up, which are safe enough even to use with food. While not the most inexpensive option, clay desiccants are a great way to keep your ammo good to go. And of course, for those of us, you know, you have the silica gel packs. Now, they're similar to clay desiccants and usually even more effective. Silica gel packs also absorb moisture and can be used by dropping packets into your ammo canisters. Silica gel packets can be easily purchased online and are an expensive yet reliable way to keep your ammo safe. I got to tell you guys, I think I picked up like 50 of them for like $2.50 on eBay. When I got them, they were all vacuum sealed and all that stuff. So yeah, and I took each one, dropped it into my ammunition boxes with all of my ammunition. So yeah, it does work. And they're very inexpensive. And another perk of using silica gel packs is that you can tell when they need to be switched out. Now you can get packets that change color when they've absorbed as much moisture as possible, letting you know when to replace each packet. Number six is the affordable option. If you're in a pinch and don't have much time to prepare in a doomsday scenario, you can create a great homemade desiccant out of salt and rice. Uncooked rice will keep your ammo dry in the same way that it absorbs moisture in a jar of sugar. Now, adding the salt will also keep the rice from spoiling as quickly. Simply mix some uncooked rice with some salt and tie it up in a tissue or a fine mesh cloth. Number seven, use vacuum sealed bags. An additional tip for making the most out of your moisture defense is to use vacuum sealed bags. While squeezing the air out of plastic bags will work decently, storing ammo in a vacuum sealed bag is the best way to ensure no air and therefore no moisture makes it into the presence of your ammunition. This is especially useful tip if you want to store thousands of rounds in one bag. Simply vacuum out as much air is much easier than trying to squeeze air out of a trash bag sized storage option. Number eight, check for signs of corrosion frequently. Be vigilant about your ammunition storage. After picking up your ammo, after packaging up your ammo nicely in a vacuum sealed bag with moisture wicking materials and place it in a cool and dry place, don't simply forget about it and hope it lasts for 40 years. Schedule ammunition checks to make sure your rounds aren't corroding or becoming exposed to heat. Using clear plastic in your vacuum sealing is ideal for this, as you don't have to undo the hard work you did sealing your rounds off from the outside world in the first place. Number nine, last tip, here you go. In reality, the best way to store your ammunition is to avoid it altogether. Using ammo is better than storing ammo. And if you have the know-how and ability, reloading your ammo is a great way to make sure you always have what? Fresh munitions. So if you embark on this endeavor, spare no expense. Learn the metallurgy involved. What makes bullets weak and strong? What makes them fly faster and slower? And the best methods for use for casting them, all right? Purchase as precise a collection of instruments as possible, because even the smallest variations can impact your shooting experience. Yes? Starting to sound Gordon Ramsay. Yes? What do we got here? What's going on in the chat room? Kamal, Mike, Gary are in there. They're having a... Okay, what do they got there? Kamal Mike says in the chat room, if you want to go to the chat room, that's at blogtalkradio.com/ContraRadio. Hit the chat room. You're all set there. He says, don't use reloads for defense. So there. Kamal Mike wants to say, how about the looting during the Oroville evacuation? Sir, looting in the great state of California? Looting? I dare... Sir, certainly, you mock me. You mock me by saying that. There is no looting, sir. No. See, that would be wrong. See, everything in the Magic Kingdom, it's fine. It's a happy, fun place. There is no looting. How dare you, sir? How dare you say there is looting? I can't even believe he would bring that up. How dare he? He mocks me. He mocks me. But hey, tonight is like an open mic night. So if you want to call in and talk about whatever, just make sure it's on topic, preppers, patriot, topics. While it is true, if you're in the chat room, Kamal Mike says it's not the looting you're used to in Chi-Town. You know, that's not called looting, sir. That's just called habit forming down there in Chicago. They have a real tough time with burglaries and theft. But to be honest about it, it happens all around the collar counties too. Chicago Stan. It could be. I figure as the temperatures, yesterday it was like 70 degrees here. and today was like 65. This is going to last probably till about Wednesday or Thursday. And then, of course, you know, we are in the middle of February. Winter will return. I'll drop things to 30. So I figure for the next 4 or 5 days, Chicago PD is going to be really busy. They're going to be busy. But what was I talking? Oh, yeah. So it's been a slow, Patriot news thing. We did find out, if you're curious, because a lot of times the Patriot thing crosses over into the political realm. And that's just the way it is. It's just the nature of the beast. Preppers, if you're in the prepper round, we don't really care what the politics are. Basically, we just want everybody to leave us the hell alone so we can do what we got to do. So, you know, that is what it is. But they did identify, and this was, you know, they did identify who the leak was. Let me see if I can get that article up again. I thought it was very interesting. Oh, if I can find it, I'll get you her name. What do we got here? Oh, if I could just find it. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'll find it. And then I believe it was Rance Priebus's, the under chief of staff. I don't know what the hell her title is. What was her name? And it makes you, it makes us in. I just find it interesting that you have to figure out what. Come on, pop it up here. Don't care. Still don't care. Don't care. No, that's wrong, too. I'm going to find this. I'm going to find it because I find it interesting, and I'd like to wonder if they're going to drop the hammer on her. Where is it? Don't care about that. Don't care about that. Bill Gates. Oh, here's this. Oh, this is interesting. Coming off of The Guardian. Bill Gates warns, get this, Bill Gates of Microsoft fame, warns tens of millions could be killed by bioterrorism. Say it ain't so. What was it? Yes, got that. But that's not what we want to talk about here. Oh, come on. So many stories, so little time. Okay, here we go. We got it. Rance Priebus's never Trump Deputy Chief of Staff, Katie Walsh. That's her name, Katie Walsh. Deputy Chief of Staff Katie Walsh is fingered as the saboteur leaker. I know. I find it hard to believe. It says that the Katie Walsh has been identified as the source behind a bunch of leaks from the Trump administration to the New York Times and other media outlets. According to multiple sources in the White House, media, donor community, and the pro-Trump 501c4 political group. Everyone knows not to talk to her in the White House unless you want to see in the press, says a source close to the president. The only question is whether or not she's doing it at the behest of Rance Priebus or if she's doing it to advance herself in D.C. media circles. My guess, if I had to make the bet, I would bet she's doing it to advance herself in D.C. media circles because a lot of these people, when they do, you know, when they get into politics, they don't give a flying fuck about you, me, or anybody else. They're worried about themselves, trying to make themselves look good, and they're going to say and do whatever they have to do. So one source in particular stands out. Walsh is close to what Maggie Haberman. She's a New York Times reporter who wrote fawning pro-Republican National Committee stories during the presidential election. Walsh has also planned stories in the Washington Post and Politico. Now, she is referred to as Madam President in the White House, says a senior aide, and it isn't a compliment. Let that sink in, huh? Now, you won't hear this stuff from the, you know, the lying mainstream media. But, you know, Walsh would have a significant access as she controls the president's schedule. There's also reportedly a trove of emails where Katie Walsh and Reince Priebus discuss how to rid themselves of Trump, according to a former Never Trump consultant. The president and his allies have been deliberately feeding her fake information in order to find her network, says a source close to the president's family. It's been going well. Now, Walsh was a Never Trump Republican during the campaign. Neither Walsh nor her families were supporters during the campaign. And I want to take a break here. I want to put this in there. If that's the case, why was she given any access to the White House? Why was she given any job in the administration? Usually those jobs are reserved for supporters of the candidate. Walsh's hometown is where? St. Louis. A White House investigation is planned into Walsh, who couldn't be reached for comment. So there you go. And that's from gotnews.com. Now, if you want to know what Got News is, this is Got News. They shut down Facebook's biased left-wing trending news team. And let me see. Now we don't want to get, no. We'll just leave it at that. But anyways, so there you go. What were we talking about there? Yeah, Kyle Mikes, Trump should have fired many when he got in there day one. Well, you know, the problem with that is this. Because the Dems have been dragging their feet on cabinet appointments, you got to rely on what's there until you get your man in there to go in there and clean house. Like Rex Tillerson went into the 7th Florida State Department, and as the Washington Post described it, it was a bloodbath. I say, good. Let the blood of the non-believers run in the streets. I don't care. But he went into the 7th floor and got rid of everybody. See, one thing you have to realize about a lot of these cabinet picks is they don't like the departments they've been picked to run, which means they're not going to put up with any of this crap. You know, if you were going in there thinking you're going to make a career sitting on your ass in the State Department doing nothing except, you know, being a, you know, a yes man, those days are probably over. That's not to say you're going to get all of them, but you can get most of them. So, yeah, that's why, you know, you can't fire people on day one unless you got your cabinet picked. Now, as we are well aware of, Obama and I think Bush all had their cabinet picks well within the first, 2 days of the inauguration. We're going on week four. And they're still trying to get this stuff through. And this is going to come back and once again bite the Democrats in the ass if by some, you know, they manage to win another election, a federal election, a general election, where they control the White House. And they will be, and I'm hopefully the Republicans will have the spine to stick it to them and say, no, no, no. No, it's kind of like the nuclear option in the Senate. The Democrats were fine with the nuclear option when they ran the show, and now they don't run the show anymore. They don't like the nuclear option. Oh, well. You chose the rules that we're going to play by, and we will play by these rules. So you don't get to whine about the rules when they, you know, when they don't benefit you, and you cheer them when they do. It doesn't happen that way. That's not allowed. What does he have here? Oh, boy. Man, it is just so slow. I'm telling you, this might be a really short show the way things are rolling here tonight. I'll tell you. Oh, Kamala Mike says they're up to $700 for Julie. Yes, I saw that. It's very good. Update on that. And that is this. I haven't heard from Dawn yet. I talked to Dawn, 2 days ago. Apparently, was it yesterday? I think it might be yesterday even. Last night, I think. Yeah, maybe it was yesterday. Anyways, Dawn said that the insurance company is trying to back out of it through some clause or something, and I have not heard about that. I have not heard if that is true or not. Last I heard is Julius packing her stuff and getting out, which is good. But I can't understand how. Here it is. That I remember now. What it was What it is this, and that is they had the insurance company says, sorry, you aren't covered by acts of God. And I'm thinking, well, what's the point of having insurance at all? Especially your homeowner's insurance. That's, you know, the big one. But I said that's what Dawn was able to get. Julie was going to send Dawn her insurance policy, the home, and see what's going on with it. So I haven't heard back yet. But that is good. It's good to see that we got $700 raised for Julie. She's going to need every penny of it. I know she will. Yes, Japan's nuclear is out of hand. If you've seen the pictures, oh, good Lord. I just, you know, I hate to bring it up because we talked about so much, but the idea that this is still a hazardous situation, they sent in one of their robots into the Daiichi number 2 reactor. This robot was specifically built to go into that reactor to resist the radiation and, you know, the heat and all the other stuff that goes with it. And get this, you're going to love when you hear this, really. And that is the robot failed. They don't know what happened to it. It failed. They don't know whether it got stuck or something fell into a hole. They don't know. They don't know what happened to it. So, so with that said, but have you seen the pictures? These morons, good God, they're still throwing water on the reactors. Now, Daiichi number 2 is the most damaged one. I think it's 1, 3, and 4 are damaged, but there's, because the radiation level is so high in Daiichi number 2, they're having trouble getting into 1, 3, and 4. I believe there's 4 reactors. There could be 3, but I'm thinking it's 4. Anyways, those reactors are damaged, but not to the point like number 2 is. And, of course, number 2 has sent part of its nuclear fuel to the bottom of the Pacific, where it just continues doing what nuclear fuel does. Just keeps on splitting. So, and I'm sure it's, you know, it's high heat. Now, Brian's sent a message, and it was interesting because he said, you know, and this is what I was getting at last week when I said, look, we got some storms rolling, you know, thunderstorms rolling in from California, supposed to sweep across the country. And I asked people, do you have a Geiger counter? After the rain passes, go out there and see if you're getting any radiation readings from the rain. And my thought process, and maybe I didn't articulate it too well. As a matter of fact, I know I didn't. And when Brian brought it up today, and that was this. Because air evaporates, water evaporates in the air, if you have contaminated water, would the atmosphere also not become contaminated? And if it does evaporate, and it, of course it condenses when it gets high enough, gets cooler, turns to rain, falls back to Earth, are you still going to get readings from the cesium-134, the cesium-137, or the strontium-90? That's a great question. That's why I haven't heard. No, I've not got a response in the email, anything from anybody that says, yeah, we went out there and we checked it, and we didn't get a reading. We did get a reading, did not. I don't know. But something to think about. There's a new storm brewing out in California. It should be moving inland. I'm just throwing it out there. I thought it might be interesting. So what's got going in there? Gary says, Julie's show last night was really good. He really liked it. He says, and Mike says, should be a way. Maybe Elon Musk can invent a way to grab the reactor and blast it into space and send it into the sun. Interesting. Huh. Boy, I wouldn't want to grab that reactor. Gary says it melted down. Kamo Mike says from the fuel rods, right? And Gary says too much. Yeah. See, that's the thing. The fuel rods go in and out. That controls the amount of energy, heating, cooling. That's why you have the water that surrounds the reactors, keep it cool. And also when it gets too hot, the water starts to bubble and you get the steam, radioactive steam, which is in a sealed system, turning the turbines because it's steam, and it turns and goes fast, generates electricity. There you go. That's it in a nutshell. There's a lot more to it than what I just said. So, make a great story. Yeah. You know, they did that old movie back, with that communist liberal hag. Jane Fonda. You know, they did a thing called the China syndrome. Well, they had the China syndrome in Japan. Now, if they're in Japan, they're pretty close to China. Do they still call it the China syndrome? Or do they call it, you know, maybe the Central America syndrome? I mean, or what? I don't know. I want to know. Just want to know what it is. I want to be right. I want to be informative. I want to be correct. Anyways, so there. There you have it. There it is. So if you're out there, the Fukushima syndrome. Yeah, if you're not in the chat room, you need to be tonight. It's pretty good. Gary and Mike are thanks, guys. I like it. They're providing a lot of stuff for us. Terry's probably at church where he should be. Poor heathen. That's all right. And then we got Chuck. I don't know where Chuck's been. You know, he comes and goes like a flu virus. You know, he's with you for a few weeks, and then he takes off. Then he comes back to visit a week or so, and then takes off. You know. So, I like Chuck. He's a good guy. Something I wanted to ask you guys, as long as we're here. I got a call from a listener who wants to do their own show. And, of course, I've always maintained a standing. You want to do a show, that's fine. I got time slots, no problem. And if they would report it, it almost got almost too quiet, John. Oh, wait, hey, I tell you, man, it's been a slow week, believe me. But so my standing policy is, look, you got a show, that's fine. Tell me what you want to do, but it's got to be something along the lines of prepping or being a patriot. Or in some cases, now I know it's going to be controversial. Some of you are going to freak out when I tell you. Some of it has to do with the militias. There is no – militia is not a bad word. Many people in the general population have been brainwashed to consider did you say militias? Oh, bad. Stay away, stay away. And that's not necessarily true, guys. Anyways, so this person is going to get back to me with a title for their show and the subject matter. This person does have extensive contacts in the prepper world. This person says, hey, do you know this person? Do you know that person? I said, are you kidding me? I haven't even heard of these people. I said, the only people I've really had a lot of contact with from the prepper world, you know, big time, would be Lisa and Dale from Survival Preppers. You know, they were kind enough to come on my show very early on when I was starting. And I should have them back on. I really do enjoy talking with them. They're a lot of fun. In fact, I should get a hold of them. But just the same, I wanted to let you know there could be a new type of show. Specifically, maybe not. I don't want to say the word specifically, but would deal a lot with issues in the prepper world. All right. I'm sorry, not the prepper world, the patriot world. I'm sorry. Kamala Mike in the chat room says the left has made it a bad word. Yes, you're correct. Unless they are talking about the Second Amendment, then it's guns are meant for militias, not regular citizens. Unfortunately, regular citizens are the militia. That was the whole point of it. So don't let anybody tell you that the guns are meant for militias, not regular citizens. Regular citizens make up the militia, not the National Guard. The National Guard is not the militia. The National Guard are the 50 states' troops, which can be federalized at any time for federal service. Case in point, let's put it this way. Let's make it real easy. Not too distant past, the Mississippi National Guard, they were federalized and they were all sent to Vietnam. So, yes. So when it comes to militias, they're talking about the citizens. Illinois has an official militia. It's called the Illinois Militia. They are recognized by the state. Now, what they do or do, I do not know. Chuck has, I think Chuck's been in contact with them. He's got more of a handle on the militias than I do. I don't have a problem with militias. I think it's a very good idea that all citizens should be a part of the militia, except, of course, if you're a leftist, we don't need you. because you're just going to run away anyways. They're going to run away. They don't like people. They don't like to fight their own battles. They like to get other people, also known as useful idiots, to fight their battles for them. What in the hell did Mike just put in the chat room? Have you seen the Yehu Garcia's videos? No, I have not. Where's my alkaline? Oh, tonight, alkaline water for the drink. With an 8.8 pH. Very tasty. So, anyhow. Let's see what else we got rocking and rolling in the world. Because I won't be keeping this up forever, and that's okay. You know, some nights go fast, some go slow. Sometimes we got a lot to talk about. And sometimes we, just like tonight, we just don't have it. Okay. What do we got here? Nope. Yes, I saw that. Don't care about that. Boy, what else is there? Don't know. You know, we did tell you about that they're picking up the radiation from Fukushima in the Canadian salmon. I'm pretty sure I told you that, yes. Okay, what is that? So, yes, it is here. It is affecting people. Let me see here. Oh, boy. There's like... yes. No. My gut... after President's Day, which is Monday, tomorrow, Tuesday, we should see new immigration orders coming out of the White House. They should be bulletproof, and it'll drive the Ninth Circuit up the wall. I don't care. You know, I'm not even going to do any stories about Hillary. I don't care about her. It's best if she just goes away. It would be better if they indicted her and brought her and her scandalous foundation crumbling down at one time. But I'm not going to do any Hillary stories. I don't care. Ignore it, and it will go away because it's irrelevant. I don't care about the left. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. Do something that violates my rights. Do something that will violate my family's rights, and you're a leftist, I'll deal with you. You know, as preppers and patriots, what people don't understand, and that is this. We will do horrible, unspeakable things to protect the ones we love. We have thought it through our minds. We've thought it through the process. If this happens, I will do that. If that happens, I will do this. And we do it because we are not going to allow somebody else to, one, hurt our loved ones, hurt our families, do something detrimental to our loved ones, detrimental to our families. We have made up our own minds that we will do what it takes to keep them safe. The same is true as a prepper. If you're married, you have a spouse who doesn't buy into the whole prepper thing. And there's a lot of them out there. There really is. They have already made up their mind. They've made the mental decision that they will do horrible, unspeakable things to protect their loved ones and their family. And to an extent, if you're a part of the prepper group, that is your family as well. We will do horrible and unspeakable things to protect those that we love, to protect all that is good and decent. And that does come with a price. I don't know if I've told you, and I don't like to talk about me because I'm not that important. I'm the guy here just giving you information. What you do with it, well, that's your business. Use it, don't use it, ridicule it, mock it, love it. That's up to you. But let's put it this way. One thing they don't tell you when you decide that you want to become a police officer and do something in law enforcement, and you do it for 25, 26, 27 years, what they don't tell you in the brochures and the hiring seminars and you're filling out the 20, 30-page application to go through the background check and all that stuff, what they don't tell you is that, you know what, when you get done, you're going to have a severe case of PTSD. I've been retired for 2.5, almost 3 years. About 5 months ago, I started getting a handle on it. No, I'm not going to go take hostages. I'm not going to kill people. But it's a different type, I guess, of PTSD. I used to get up some nights, couldn't sleep, get up for a myriad of reasons. You know what? Here, I'm going to tell you. Give you an example. The last year was about 9 months before I retired. A young lady on her birthday was riding her bike down the road. She was off to the side. She wasn't in the road. Just got done raining. You know that rain in the spring where it sprinkles just enough to make the road slick, but not enough to wash off the oil? Well, it just finished that. Just got done having those little showers. I think maybe it rained for 10 minutes, 15. It was a light rain. It wasn't really a thunderstorm. Just enough. Like I said, just enough to make the road slick, but not enough to really get the oil off the roads to wash it off. Riding her bike off the side of the road, a young man who, in my opinion, who should never have had a driver's license, because of an affliction he has, but how he got the license, I don't know. That wasn't for me to investigate at that point. Got distracted. He got distracted by a rainbow. And if you are not aware of it, human beings, we have a tendency when we drive to steer where we are looking. Well, obviously the rainbow was not over the road. It was way off to the west, and that's where he was looking, way off to the west. So like everybody does, and generally you see this problem with people who are turning the dial on the radio station, on the stereo, the car radio. This is where you actually see the problem more often than not. And you have a tendency to steer where you're looking. So most people, if you're looking at the radio, looking at your whatever device, it's in the middle console center, your dashboard there or whatever, and you're looking at it, you have a tendency to steer that way. You don't even realize you're doing it. You have to be, if you're cognizant of it, then, it never happens. Well, this young man, no one ever taught him, apparently. So he ends up hitting this woman, and I believe she was a mother of two or three, just off her bike ride. And if I remember right, she had just gotten out of the military, and she had just got home, and she was staying at her parents' place. Her parents were watching the kids. She said, it's my bike. It's my birthday. She says, I'm going to go out. I need a break. I'm going to go out for a bike ride. She never came back. So I get there, get the call. I'm the first there. My partner's coming, but he's farther away. And had to jump into the ditch where she was. She got knocked. Her head went through the windshield, back out. She ended up in the ditch. So I jump in the ditch. Good Samaritan truck driver. Saw what happened. He jumped into the other side of her, both in the ditch. Cars are stopped. The carbon monoxide is filling up the ditch line, and it's, you know, you can choke it on that. Started doing CPR on her, trying, and I got up my Israeli combat bandage, slapped it on one side of her head, talking to her, telling her, you know, look, I know you can hear me. Keep breathing. You're going to pull through this. I need you to fight for it. Come on, breathe, breathe, breathe. Doing the CPR, trying to keep the pressure bandage on her head. My partner got there, and I said, hey, I need your combat bandage too. So he went and got his. Well, by that time, you know, I've already called for rescue. It's like, good God, you talk about what's that song? What's that verse in Edmund Fitzgerald? You know, where's God's love when the minutes turned hours? That's what it seemed like. Obviously, that's not the case. They were coming as fast as they could. It was like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, they're getting there, and it was a two-lane. Highway, state route, and you know, they were getting there. They get there, and you know, I finally, you know, I'm exhausted at that point, doing CPR, trying to talk to her. You know, we had to. It was just a mess. So, I got, you know, they you know, rescue gets there, they take over. I backed off. I got out of the ditch and just, you know, tried to get some fresh air. You know, it sucks trying to, you know, breathe air and carbon monoxide from running vehicles, the exhaust. So anyways, you know, she did not make it. They had her in the rescue like 15 seconds. Those guys were good. Had her in there. They were working her for a good half hour before they even thought to transport her. Turned out her other side of the head where she got hit. You know, the brains were leaking out, and no amount of bandage I was going to do. But I can say this: she heard me because I saw her and I heard her trying to breathe, but she couldn't talk. She was definitely out, but you could see her, you know, trying to breathe. And for some reason, I mean, I've been to those crashes before, been to the fatals, been to the suicides, you know, and the whole thing, you know, been to all of them. And that one didn't seem to, I was kind of ticked off just because it's like, damn it, you're not supposed to die. I was there. I was working on you. You were breathing. You were breathing when they got you. My guess is, you know, what happened was, you know, her brain was, she was brain dead. It's just her body didn't know enough to stop breathing. That I could live with. But for some reason, you know, that's just an example. An example is like, you know, just one example I wanted to share with you. Over the last few years, though, for some reason, you know, I'll be late, wiped out, I'm tired, go to bed, and she shows up. For some reason, that whole scenario I just described to you, but, you know, obviously there's more details to it, I just hit the high spots, comes into play all over again, and I'm up. And I'm up for until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Then it's like, God, I'd really like to get some sleep. And then finally I fall asleep later on. But this is one of many things that they don't tell you about. You'll get PTSD. You will relive things that you had forgotten about. They will come to you in the middle of the night. And the problem is, and as I told my wife, you know, and I said, you know, and if I explained it to her, after talking with some other guys that I used to work with, they had the same problem I do. Same issues, just different people, different incidents. And I said, when I get up from these nights, and the next morning, I'm angry. I am pissed off. I want to fight with somebody. I don't even care. But because it's my wife, I just tell her, I said, look, I will tell you when I've had one of those nights, And I said, I'm not angry with you. You didn't do anything. Nobody's done anything. It's me. I'm the one that's, you know, broken and fouled up. So, yes, as time goes on, you get less and less of them. That is true. Or sometimes, as we like to call them, work dreams, you probably had some. As my partner said, oh, you had the work dreams too? I said, I didn't know you did. He goes, yeah, I got them. You know, and some of it has nothing to do with an incident. It just might reflect back on the department as a whole. And just you wake up and you're pissed off. You want to grab somebody by the throat and bitch slap them until my arm gets tired. That is not what I do. I will go. I'll get something to eat. And I'll putz around until I get myself calmed down enough. And that usually takes about half a day or so. Last night was, the night before was one of those nights. And I, you know, and my wife hadn't said or done anything. She just happened to be there. And I started to snap on her. And I thought, no. She didn't do anything. So I just told her what had happened. Then I said that the reason I was up until 4 o'clock in the morning, even though I was dead tired, was because of that. She goes, okay. And you know what she does? She leaves me alone. She knows I'll handle it. Yeah, but if I want to bitch at her about something, she'll listen, and then she'll forget it and just go her way. And sometimes that's all I need. My point is this. As preppers, we can self-induce ourselves into a PTSD situation. I know a man. No, I take that back. I've never met him. I know his wife, and she told me he is such a prepper. He will watch the news all day. All night. Will not leave the house. Will not do anything with her. He is so hyper-vigilant, he's forgotten to live his life. He self-induced himself into a panic that, oh my God, something happens. I got to be prepared. I got to be ready to move. Yes, it's true. But don't be hyper-vigilant to the point you forget to live your life. And at times, I'm thinking, you know, he sees something on TV. And she told me. He sees something on TV and he's ready to sprint into action. He's got himself wound so tight. And I said, does he ever sleep? She goes, he rarely even sleeps anymore. I said, why? She said, because he figures he's got to be ready. Got to be ready. My thing, I'm surprised he's even still married, to tell the truth. On the other hand, what does she care? She goes out, does whatever she wants. He doesn't care. He's home. So some of the things, and I'm not telling you this because I want your sympathy. I'm telling you things that are real. I never thought I had PTSD. And then once I started talking to the other guys I retired with, and we were probably partners on and off for the last 25 years, they got the same thing. Finally, somebody says, maybe we have PTSD. Well, you think they're Sherlock, huh? Huh? There's a tough guy. You think you figured it out now? He was right. He was right. But we all, we all have, some of us were on the same call. You know, not every call we were there together. It's, you know, sometimes we were there on the same call, sometimes they weren't. We all remember the calls, you know, the ones that really were impactful. And the problem is, as I like to call her Anna, when Anna comes to visit me at night, it's going to be a long night for me. Because once I get her out of my head, all the other ones start coming. The suicides, the accidental drownings, all the crap. And it's one after the other after the other. You get rid of one, another one pops in. And it's like the never-ending parade. I'm glad I get to deal with it now. Because I'm going to tell you something. When the grid goes down, when our worst nightmare scenarios are in fact playing out before our very eyes, you're gonna start suffering from it. You will get PTSD. The problem is, it will never end with the grid down. There is no rainbow. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. It will keep playing out. It will affect you, your loved ones, people in your prepper group for the rest of your life. Because the grid is down. And if they do by some magic figure out to get the grid up again, you will live with the things, the unspeakable, horrible things you've had to do. And no, for those of you that are thinking, the state will not pay for any PTSD treatments. Because I mean, they're aware of it. They said they are, but they don't have the money for it. So basically we have, you know, myself, others that have been through it. They get it. We get it. We're it. We've always been it. There's never going to be anybody else that's going to do it for us. You know, the difference between a wolf and a sheepdog is this. The wolf does things for themselves. The sheepdog does things for the flock. And I'll tell you right now, there's a very, very thin line between being a sheepdog and being a wolf. And sometimes the sheepdogs cross that line. They become the wolf. And they will pay the price for it. But as for the rest of the sheepdogs, they don't tell you that. You will live those moments that you had to do horrible and unspeakable things over and over again. Now, I know Mary Jo's, you know, is going to be listening to this, our therapist in Wyoming. And she's probably making mental notes right now. She listens on her way to and from work on the podcast when we're done. So my guess is she's going to be pulling off the road thinking, oh, boy, this guy's really messed up. Let's write this down and use him for a clinical exercise of what to look for. So I just want you to be aware of that. Like I said, in the beginning, before I told you the story, as preppers and patriots, or patriots as the case may be, maybe you're not a prepper, maybe you're just a patriot. You've made the commitment in your own mind that you are ready to do horrible, unspeakable things in the name of not just survival, but protecting your loved ones, protecting your group. You've made that decision. And you won't fully realize the gravity of that decision until it's upon you. And then you're going to do it. Hopefully you will do it. Maybe some of you won't. So, if you think being a prepper is just going through the motions, stockpiling shit right and left, then you have not given thought. And I'm not talking about the Hollywood movies. I'm going to tell you something. If you have never seen what cars can do to people, what people do to themselves when they can't take life anymore and they decide to commit suicide, and you can't stand the thought, or not so much the thought, you can't stand to see the pain of the survivors who are left over, who are left behind, the family, their family members. This is the emotional stuff that we're talking about that preppers will have to deal with. What people do to each other, yeah, we see it on the news, but you don't see the raw footage. You don't see the reaction of the family who for some reason can't for their life figure out why the guy ate, why their brother, father, son, whatever, or daughter for that matter, decided to eat a bullet. The devastation is unbelievable. But we as preppers, you better get your mindset now. When the grid goes down, all stuff I've ever seen goes out the window. It will be like a cartoon because of what adults will be feeling. Imagine what it's going to be like for the children. This is a sobering thought. And I want you all to be aware of it. You will suffer from PTSD. It's not relegated to combat veterans. Combat veterans have a greater, quicker affliction rate than the coppers do because they're in combat and it's so intense, but it's for such a short period of time. They will manifest those signs and symptoms a lot quicker than the police officer does. This doesn't. And of course, the longer you stay on the job, the more fucked up you get. Now, I didn't do the full 30 years. I did 26. And one day it dawned on me, driving in. I remember that day. There were 2 days. The last one actually sealed the fate of my career. Driving in. And if you've ever been up as the sun is coming up over the horizon, you look in the sky and you can actually see the demarcation line between the morning, the day sky, and the night sky. You can actually see the line. And it's only there for maybe, I want to say maybe 8 minutes. And it's odd. I mean, when you see it, you're going, wow, I didn't notice that before. I remember that day. And as I was driving, I saw it, looking at it, and I said, you know what? I'm done. I don't care about these people anymore. I'm done being a sheepdog. I'm done. My family's put up with it. I've missed enough holidays. I missed my daughter growing up because of the crazy schedule. I'm done. I don't care about these people anymore. It's the same people doing the same crap over and over again. They just find new victims. I'm through. I don't care anymore. And because I did not care anymore, I knew I did not. I didn't want to be on the streets anymore. I'm not doing anybody any good. I'm not doing the taxpayers any good. I'm not doing myself any good. That was the day I said, I'm done. When the grid goes down, you will not get that opportunity. You don't get that privilege to say, I'm through. I'm turning everything in. I'm done. Here's my paperwork. This is my last day. I'm done. Grid goes down. You don't get that privilege. We all lose that privilege of saying, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. When you became a prepper, you said, I joined a prepper group. You dragged your family into this lifestyle, whether they liked it or not. You lost the right and the privilege to say, I'm through. I don't want to play the game anymore. Way wrong answer. You don't get to do that. You don't. So, now we've had that sobering thought out there. I said, I didn't know what I was going to talk about tonight. I told you, something will pop up and we will run with it. And that's what popped up. And not everybody will get this. Some will not understand it. That's okay. I'm not asking to understand it. I'm asking to be ready for it. So if it does happen, you'll know what's happening to you. Oh, and by the way, just because you got PTSD doesn't mean that gives you the right to go out and kick somebody's ass, beat your wife, beat your kids, to mistreat anyone. It doesn't give you the right to do that. What it gives you the right to do is be angry, but it also gives you the right and obligation to go get yourself fixed if you can. If you can. Miss Anna, there are times she comes to visit me. And when she does, I know when she's done, there's a whole bunch of others lined up behind her. Now, the good news is this. This is the good news, guys. Really, it is. And I want to tell you why. You know what helped me get through a lot of it in the last 8 to 6 months? Jesus. I found a good Bible-believing church. And there are times when I'll sit there, when Miss Anna arrives, guess what I'm doing? I start praying. I say, Jesus, take this away from me now. Make it stop. Sometimes it's faster. Sometimes it's a little slower. But the response is there. The response is there. So some people, you know, may mock me for relying on Jesus. There are those that don't, and that's okay. You can mock me. You can mock me for being a Christian and believing in church, going to church, praising Jesus. singing songs to God. You know what? If I'm wrong, this costs me nothing. But if I'm right, it's cost you everything. I'd rather take the, I'll take the bet. So yeah, sometimes the church is head. The church is there. The church has been there for me. The pastor, she understands me. I like my church. I don't talk to a lot of people at church. I don't have a lot of church friends. But that's been the path of my life. I've chosen to have a select number of friends. I have a lot of acquaintances. I know a lot of people. But I have a very select number of friends. And that's just the way I'm built. You know, we talk about sheepdogs. Sheepdogs, God makes sheepdogs. That's what we call ourselves. We are the protectors. We're the ones who have made the decision. We'll protect the ones we love. We'll protect, you know, the flock. When you decide to take that obligation on, by the way, you don't even realize it until it's already done. And that's what it is, bud. That's the way we're built. God builds us all to do different things with our lives. For example, Brian Kiesler, Tuesday night, does his show. Built that man into a technical guy. Made him a technical. He likes getting into there. He likes getting his electronic stuff together and building stuff. Me, I just say, I'll pay somebody here to build this for me. That's not me. Why? I hate the idea of running 24 times to the Home Depot because I can't get the damn right part. That drives me bananas. I hate home improvement. That is like, if I was to die and go to hell, that would be my hell. I had to keep running back and forth to Home Depot all the time. Never, ever get anything done. So other times, look at Julie. God made her into a nurse. Why? Who knows? I don't, as a creation, I try not to question the creator on a lot of things because if in my world it's inappropriate. And too, if he wants me to know, he'll let me know in his own way. But we've all become preppers. So in some way, in some weird way, we as preppers have been wired differently from others. We like to look at things and go, this could be bad news. Perhaps, you know, it's like, for example, in the summertime, got the windows open, it's beautiful, dark clouds start rolling in, you go, think a storm's on the horizon. And sure enough, you know, the wind picks up. Where it was hot and humid, all of a sudden, it's cool, dry air. You know it's going to be a big storm. Well, you sure as hell don't stand outside. You know what could happen. You get inside, got getting the windows closed down, battening down the hatches. You know it's going to, you know, try to get the dogs out one last time before the rain hits. We start preparing for it. Same thing with preppers. We see something, we hear something, we fear something. Something's not right. We pick up on it. We're wired that way. But because we've been wired that way, we say, wait a minute, I've been preparing for this moment. I've been putting some food away, some water away, some clean clothes, some library reference materials. I've been putting that away. I've been putting all that stuff away. And now's the time. I'm ready. Maybe. Now, look, being a prepper does not guarantee you will survive a grid down situation. What it does is improve your odds. So don't forget to live your life. If you're a prepper, don't forget to live your life. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You shouldn't have a problem. Be prepared mentally. As a drill sergeant once told me about 2 minutes before a drill sergeant orientation, my first day of basic training on the bus, he gets on and he's yelling at us as usual. We're going, oh, wow, this is great, man. That's what I signed up for. Said no one ever on that bus. I remember to this day, Sergeant Collins. I remember him. You know what he said? Three words. Mental preparation, people. Mental preparation. And I'm telling you that now. It's mental preparation. Be aware of what's going to happen. Be aware of what can happen. Because it's going to. You will make decisions that are horrible. You're going to make those decisions. You're going to act on it. Not because you want to. Because if you do, that makes you a sociopath. You do it because you've chosen to protect your family and your loved ones. That's all I really got to say on it, guys. And ladies, thought I'd open up a little bit, let you know a little bit about me. I'll be, I hope this new show goes forth. I would like, it's long overdue. We do a lot. We got a lot of prepper shows. I have very little Patriot shows. So we're going to do, hopefully this will turn out to be I think we're going to be okay on it. I just got to hear and see what they think, you know, what's going to happen with it. No more sometime next week. And when it happens, you know what? I want to extend you an invitation. I believe they're going to record two or three shows just to see how it goes before they go live. I will upload those episodes, and I want you to feel free to opine on them. I may buy the time on the show, but if nobody listens to it, doesn't do anybody a damn bit of good. No, does it? All right. I'm going to call it a night, guys. We've all got enough to think about. I think it's good enough, and I'll see you all on Wednesday night. Brian has a show on Tuesday night. I suggest you listen in. It's very important what he's going to be talking about. I don't want to give it away, and I won't. But it'll be very important. So, let me type out this message to you guys in the chat room. Yes. You're good enough to spend a little bit of time with me in the chat room. You're good enough to, well, you know. I'm John Jeffers, saying thanks for listening to Contra Radio Network. To my Prepper and Patriot friends, I say to you this. Be safe, be vigilant, and be alert. And hopefully we'll have some really interesting news stuff by Wednesday, I'm hoping. All right. I say good night to you, and thanks for listening to CRN. Let your friends and family know. Good night.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Welcome to Total Wine and More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine and More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in store or online at TotalWine.com.